Bad Guys, DGS on KMOX 204. Going to make Michael Calhoun do a little more work here and do a post-mortem on the elections last night. Michael.
Hey, yeah, what a night we had in terms of, I think the biggest ones were probably congressional and the Republican gubernatorial race.
Either of those surprise you, Mike?
I don't know about surprise. You know, you take a look at the polls leading into it. I think the governor's race was kind of up in the air. A lot of the polls showed a tight race between Jay Ashcroft and Mike Kehoe, the lieutenant governor, with Bill Igel in third place. That's not how the actual poll, the folks going to cast their ballots on Tuesday, that's not how it turned out, with Bill Igel coming in second place and Jay Ashcroft in a distant third place. So that was interesting. But, you know, those polls also showed a large percentage of people, 25% or so, still undecided, you know, the weeks leading up to, the days leading up to the election. So it seems like a lot of people there made their decision and decided to go with Kehoe. Many of them went with Igel. And, you know, yesterday we were watching the turnout figures in St. Louis City and County. It looked like the county turnout was higher as we went through the day, which kind of led us to believe that that might be good for Wesley Bell. And it turned out that he won the county and she won the city part of the district.
And we're making national news on that one, given the fact that Cori Bush was part of the squad and the second squad member to go down now and all the money coming from AIPAC. It's been a national news story.
Yeah, it really has from all sorts of angles. The amount of money spent on it, who spent the money, the fact that she was part of this group of progressive lawmakers that was getting so much attention. A lot of different angles to it. You take a look at Wesley Bell with his interesting history. He's a prosecutor, came from Ferguson, just like Cori Bush really rose to visibility during the Ferguson protests a decade ago. And so, huge race. Maria Chappelle Nadal also in this. You know, did she maybe take away votes from one candidate or the other potentially, but we wind up with Wesley Bell making those national waves. And this, just like for instance, you know, some districts you may take a look and say that's a Republican district, so whoever wins the Republican primary is likely to go through. Same thing with the first congressional district. It's a heavily Democratic area, so Wesley Bell is not the congressperson elect, but it's likely that he's going to win in November.
Yeah, speaking of, we take a couple of deep breaths. We start all over again for the general.
Yeah, especially when it comes to that governor race. The Democratic side was interesting because you had the fast food magnate, the Wendy's franchisee, Mike Hamra from Springfield, spending a lot of his own money on commercials. Then you had Crystal Quaid, the House Minority Leader, who talked about her history, her family's struggles. She was the first in her family, I believe, to graduate from high school, she had said. And so this matchup between the two of them, she wound up beating Hamra. Despite being outspent, she beat him by about 20 points. So now we've got Crystal Quaid versus Mike Kehoe for governor, and the Republicans are pretty confident with that. An interesting race is what's happening with Senate, though, where you've got Josh Hawley, who was not opposed, incumbent senator. That's not unusual. He was alone on the ballot yesterday. But then on the Democratic side, you had Lucas Kuntz, who beat out State Senator Carla May for the Democratic side of that. And so it's going to be Hawley Kuntz. Kuntz has an interesting history, kind of a bit of a libertarian bent, you could say. He's really outspoken, isn't afraid to just say what he thinks. Hawley is, of course, you know, we've seen him get out there as well. He's proposed, let's do some debates, but I don't want this televised. Let's do it at the state fair on a trailer. Kuntz says, I won't do a debate unless we schedule five of them. So that's going to be an interesting thing in the next few weeks to see if they make it on the stage together and to see what the Democrats do if they put money into this race behind Kuntz and if this turns out to be a real race between the two of them.
Going to be really interesting. You can hear all the analysis and coverage here on KMOX. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave.
So we have a cool new feature today. I just found out about it today. I came in. My boss is like, have a seat. Pull out your phone. Pull up the Odyssey app. And I'm going to have my smart people walk you through it. But basically, it's a way for you guys to leave us a message that it can be in real time. It'll go to Andrew. And Andrew knows to delete anything negative about me before I see it.
You'll never hear a word.
He knows I'm very sensitive.
Don't even try. You
sensitive. Volvo Cardinal. But yeah, if you want to, like, hey, love listening to the DGS, blah, 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 you got me from 1 to 5, you could end up on a promo. If Kevin is talking about sports in real time, you can say, Kevin, you're so full of crap. There's no way the Cardinals even make the wild card.
Yeah. I feed off the bad thing, so feel
free. Yes, he does. And not only, we won't have to read it, we can play it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I'm a little sheepish still, even though it's been 3 years on KMOX about calling for phone calls. I always feel like, well, I'm not Charlie Brennan. No one's going to call. And you always typically do. But this is a great way that you can use the Odyssey app to send a message, pardon me, and then we will use it.
Mm-hmm. It's a simple tap. You just tap the thing, record your message, and it gets sent right there to Andrew.
And at minimum, we're going to do a daily segment called Ask the DGS, where it can be anything. Rachel, how do you feel about your new nickname? Andrew, how many hot dogs did you eat last night? Dave, blah, 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 Kevin. So that should be a lot of fun. So, Rach, you want to take a crack at how people do it?
Yeah, just open up your Odyssey app, go to the KMOX station page, and you'll see the big orange Listen Live button. Right next to that, there's a button with a microphone. All you have to do is tap the microphone, then you can record your message and hit send, and it'll make its way to us. It is very simple. Now, I did have to update my app, or if you, you know, haven't updated it in a while, or you haven't closed out of it in a while, try closing it out and making sure that it's updated and you will be able to use this feature.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what we should do tomorrow? We should do two videos. One of me opening my sealed 1975 Planet of the Apes cards and chewing the bubblegum. And then you should do one doing that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds
so
really good.
So people can see it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
I've done these. Like, we've used this type of thing in previous places I've worked, and it works great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Tons of response on
this
it.
This is pretty fun.
And you're the arbiter, right?
Yes.
You're the gatekeeper?
I will see them, and I will be able to go through them in real time as people are sending them in. And
you can start any time. Like, it's live now, right?
Yeah, it works now. So, I mean, if you wanted to start now,
cool.
Help yourselves.
So, Missouri takes a lot of crap, right? We're the number one in murder. We're number one in crime. We're number one in this. We're number one in all these bad things. We're now number two in something. Have you guys heard about this? Something we talk about all the time.
In something negative?
It depends on your frame of mind.
Okay.
Road rage.
Oh, all right.
We have the number two most aggressive drivers in the country.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I guess I'm contributing to that.
How about that? Now, didn't one of you get road raged at?
I did yesterday.
In his wheels.
Tell us about it.
Well, I didn't understand it. Maybe you guys can. So, driving down 40 in the left lane, nobody's I'm passing cars on my side, and I think
in
I'm
your
probably
sweet ass Camaro.
I'm probably going like 72. You know,
fair.
Like, yeah, I'm going faster than I should, but I'm not like 90 weaving in on traffic, and I'm coming up on a minivan, lady in a minivan, and did not flash lights, did not get close. I don't think I ever got closer than 3 car lengths from this car. And they sped up real fast, moved over to the middle to let me go by. And as I'm going by, they're like waving and flailing at me and flipping me off. And I'm like, what did I even do? Like, is there something, like, is that a thing? Like, you get mad at people because they're going faster than you're going?
Not me. I mean, I think that's unreasonable on their
part. Like, I get it. Like, if you tailgate me or I tailgate you, that's totally justifiable to be like, hey, buddy, stop doing that.
I'm not being funny. It could be your car.
Yeah.
It might be, I guess.
Like, she's just sensing some attitude from the Camaro.
But it was like wild waving of arms and all that. And I'm like, what do we, like,
man?
Just how about this? Just don't sit in the left lane and you'll be fine.
This. It wasn't the first time she had done that yesterday.
Well, I was just saying, but maybe she's had a lot of people doing that because when you're going, look, I know the speed limit's 60, but when you're going 64 in the left lane, people are going to be coming up on you. Yeah. It's just how it is.
Yeah, my guess is that she was like scared or something. I mean, I think that's the number one reason why people road rage is they're nervous, they're anxious, and then something happens that feels beyond their control, and then they just lash out. So I'm wondering if she was just tense and you passing her was the final straw.
I'm like, I'm not perfect as a driver. There are times where if I get frustrated, I will just like go around you, but I don't cut people off because I don't think you should ever do anything dangerous when you're doing something. And I can see how people would be like, oh, you're a jerk for doing because you want to drive faster than me, I guess. I don't know what that is. But I never understood it in this scenario because there was no weirdness. There was no strange interaction. There was no tailgating, anything like that. Just straight up right into, what the hell are you doing?
My experience is so weird driving the Jeep because I drive a Jeep. It's got 210,000 miles on it. If I floor it, I can go 80. But Ruby likes to go about 60, 65. And that's the speed limit.
Yeah.
And I sound like an old guy here, but if you're going the speed limit, everyone should be cool with you as long as you're not in the left lane. And I spend a lot of time in the right lane. I can't tell you how many people get mad at me for going 65, 70 miles an hour in the right lane.
That's stupid.
I know.
Like the only thing that shouldn't be, and by the way, I don't care if people are at 60, 65 if you're in the left lane, if you're passing someone. Like, if someone's going slower than you and you want to go around them, that's fine, but then just move over.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the protocols are pretty easy. You just, even as someone that drives faster than the speed limit, I don't stay in the left lane if I'm not passing someone. But for some people, I feel like they get over there and they're like, I'm not near where everybody merges and I'm just going to stay here because I feel better over here. But that's not how it works.
Yeah. We have our first message.
Oh,
did you so okay? They come in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you read them? Do you listen to them?
I listen to them. So it comes in as an audio file, and then I listen, and then I went ahead and put this one on a hotkey. I can play for you now.
Don't, if it's up to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Love the name, Rachel. Razor. Love it. Talk to you.
That's really nice.
There's our first message ever. I love
Keep
it.
Keep them coming.
Razor's taking off.
Razor.
I love it.
That was from Tim in St. Charles. Thank you, Tim.
I was afraid it was going to be Ronji.
I was thinking it was Ronji, too, complaining about, you know, Razor getting at him. But
that would be if Ronji did, like, an anonymous voice message where he's like, I think it's really rude.
What if he called it
how everybody
Jane
treats
Gum.
Chris?
I love his Jane
I don't
Gum.
Like that Razor.
Ooh, you know what? Speaking of road rage, you know who I really can't take are the people that whenever you are passing them, even though they've been going below the speed limit the whole time, once they notice they're being passed, they're like,
speed
oh,
up.
You're not going to pass me.
Yeah.
How childish are you? You're operating a motor vehicle right now.
Right.
Like, what? I just don't understand.
Do you think we're at our worst in cars?
Yeah.
I think so. Because like I just said, I think people get scared because, I mean, there's pretty high stakes when you get behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
We don't think about it very much, but it can be a very stressful and dangerous
situation.
I've been
very honest. If I had telekinesis, there would be people dead because I don't mind at all if I get past and you're going 80.
Mm-hmm.
But we know in St. Louis on 70 Ooh. For sure and on 40, I see it less on 44, but people will come by going 100.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people on motorcycles, and I'm a motorcyclist, so I get it. And I have gone 100 in the middle of nowhere in Colorado, but not in traffic.
Right.
If I could make you crash, I would.
I'm a motorcyclist.
I get so mad.
You're a Harley guy.
No.
I don't, but you know?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I've owned Harleys, but
okay. But when you're seeing the motorcycle thing on, like the people that are weaving and spinning and going through traffic and all that, I don't ever see them on Harleys.
No.
They're always on what people call the crotch rockets. They're always on those sport bikes.
And they're usually about 17 years old with a backpack.
Yeah.
Always a backpack. Every time.
And look, there's only so good you can be at riding at 17 years old.
Yeah.
And you're not good enough to be going 100 miles an hour in and out of traffic. 223 DGS. Matt Pauly, our buddy from the sports department, will be here at 2:30. So I kind of talked about something similar to this yesterday in the first hour. We haven't been talking much politics lately. I think we're all just kind of burned out. We'll ramp back up because as things ramp back up. But the national race, it seems to me, is really shaping up to be an energy slash vibe race as opposed to a policy race. And I say that because I think the parties, both of them, have ruined intellectual policy debate by name calling. It's like when I used to do divorce work and you would do a divorce trial or a pretrial hearing. And not all divorces were like this, but a lot of them were, where there was hatred. and it was, she was the B word and he was the this word, and she's the biggest low life and she's got this addiction and that addiction and he can't keep his you know what. And I remember thinking, like, I'm sure this isn't the sum total of these people. I'm sure that this is just the absolute outer edge of the worst of their soul, and they're angry and they're hurt and they're resentful. And I would, no one in this court, the judge, the attorneys, the guardian ad litems, no one is getting a real feel for who these people are. And that's how I feel like politics has become. That's what we're getting. And we just don't get, and like I said yesterday, I lament the fact, I want to know who Tim Walz is. I want to know what he believes in. I want to know what he thinks works, and so that I can agree or disagree. Same way with the other side. Tired of the name calling, tired of the over-the-top descriptions. And it's not just Trump. It's not just the Republicans. Both sides do it, because if Trump wins, it's the end of the world. And if Trump doesn't win, it's the end of democracy. And we're in this place. The energy is so different between the left and the right. And right now, Kamala and Walz have this joyful, happy warrior kind of thing going on. And that could carry the day, or it could annoy the hell out of you, right? If you're someone who is a policy wonk, you may get tired of all the smiles and the claps and the chants and calling him coach and all that kind of stuff, right? You feel me on
that?
Yeah,
I mean, what they have now is the excitement of newness.
Yes.
Right? Like, everything's new.
Yes.
Does that last till November? We'll see.
Right. Yeah. Because we all get it. We've all met some guy whose name should be Jolly Rancher, and he's great for the first couple weeks. You're like, have you met Jolly Rancher? Have you been to lunch with him? He's the best. And after a month, you're like, oh God, Jolly Rancher's coming to happy hour. But I do feel like this is going to be an energy / vibe election.
It might be. I mean, well, just look at what happened here yesterday in Missouri. Did we not pick the normies? Did Missourians not pick the most normal people in the biggest races?
I'm glad you brought that up, because we know the weird thing that Tim Walz coined that about the right. They're just weird, aren't they? They're doing weird things. And then Kamala picked it up, and now they're both using normal. We're the normal. If you want normal people, that's us. And so it's this battle between we're normal and they're weird on both sides.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, it's funny because you start off, you're like, we're going to be the nice, normal ones. But then what's the first thing that Walz does when he gets into a rally? He makes a couch joke about J.D. Vance.
Which you loved, right?
I liked it. I thought it was very funny. I laughed.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a classy meme joke, if that makes any sense. Like, he wasn't descriptive. It was more just like a wink to this thing that's been going on online. Not classy, but you know what I mean?
I wouldn't have put it in my first speech, but I kind of agree with you. Yeah.
I don't want any of those things in presidential politics. Mm. I don't want jokes about the size of people's hands. I don't want it to be a junior high rip fest. Like, it's not what it is. This is supposed to be important. It's not supposed to be a roast.
I understand that, but how many hits can you take before you finally hit somebody back?
I don't disagree with that. That's why. I mean, I hate the stuff. Like, I hate the nicknames. I hate the Ronnie Meatball. I hate that stuff.
Because that was a good one.
Okay. Like, objectively, if you're talking about if you made that rip about a radio guy makes that joke, that's funny. You're not supposed to be that way when you're running for president of the United States.
That was charming.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back, guys. DGS on Camo X 235. Our pal Matt Pauly joins us. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. How are the babies?
Good. Annalie is starting to sleep between 6 and 7 hours.
Oh.
Per day. Hey.
That's it's wonderful.
It's like going to Hawaii, isn't it?
It is. You know, we're still really, really tired, but we know our names now.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's a good way to put it. How old is the baby now?
She's just at 2 months.
Man, seems longer. Price seems a lot longer to you.
Matt's like, it's been 87 years.
For some reason, the Cardinals are playing 250 games this year.
Speaking of, so we've all been through this together. Cardinals sucked. Then they were amazing. And then they started to kind of feel like the old Cardinals again. Where are you at on them?
Yeah, so my opinion on this team kind of changed over the last few days. Yesterday was a really important win. It was a good win, and hopefully we see more of that. But I thought it was rather disappointing that they had all that momentum coming out of those final two games of the Rangers series when they outscored Texas 18-2 over two games, and they had a fantastic trade deadline with what they were able to acquire. And then they go into Chicago and they lose 3 out of 4. And then they play a really important game against the Mets, and it's completely one-sided. Good to see them win yesterday. Should be noted they still went 0-for with runners in scoring position. They're 0-for like the last 20 or something like that. It's a really bad number. So the offense has taken a dive here. They've got to figure out a way to score runs. Luckily for them, they don't have any left-handed starters coming up against them anytime soon. It has been a challenge. So I thought this team was en route to a playoff spot, was going to challenge the Brewers for sure. And not that none of those things are possible, but I tempered a little bit just based off what happened over the last 5 days.
Matt, I'm sure it's a mix, but if you had to put your nickel in one bucket, is it that we are underperforming or this is just kind of who the team is?
That's a really good question. It is a mix. You're right. I think it's more underperforming because I look at that lineup and there's a bunch of guys that I believe in who are not playing up to what they should be able to do. Now, you could argue that pitching has actually overperformed a little bit this year, not so much lately, but in the aggregate all season long. But this team should absolutely be a better run-scoring team than what they show sometimes.
Yeah, I'm interested by this topic. That's a great way to put it, Dave, is this what they are? I might frame it a little bit differently. I think this is what they are, but this isn't what they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have two of your biggest stars that are not close to star level. They're average major league hitters right now in Goldie and Arenado. They're both right at or below major league average in production. That difference between Goldie and Arenado being themselves versus being what they've been is probably 3 to 6 games in the standings.
Yeah, and Goldie gets the... I just saw the lineup. It just posted like 10 seconds ago. And Goldie's getting the day off today. And Matt Carpenter is going to be the DH. And at first base, it's going to be Alec Burleson. So Arenado's still in there. He's batting in the 5 spot. But Wheels, to your point, we can only say it so many times, but we've said it all year long. This team is going to go as far as Goldschmidt and Arenado will take them. Those guys haven't taken them that far, and right now they're not in a playoff spot.
Because I think that if you take everything else on the team and it's exactly the way that it is, and those two, let's say they're not the 2 years ago where they're both MVP candidates. We're not saying that. They're just both 20% above major league average, right? There's something that looks closer to their career norms. There's a totally different vibe about this team. You're probably within a game or two of the Brewers for the division. You're probably the top wild card team right now. And you might have even been in a more aggressive posture going into the trade deadline. Although I think the trade deadline acquisitions were what they needed and amongst the best options for what they needed that were available.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And you know, a lot of times people try to say things like, "Oh, if this person was doing this, they'd have 10 more wins or 15 more wins." No, like that's tough. It goes.
It's
back
not
to
direct,
the whole,
right?
Right. Everybody wins 60. Everybody loses 60. That leaves 40 games that are on the table to win or lose. So if you've got somebody who's giving you 10 extra wins, that's adding basically 25% to your win total. That doesn't happen. But could they have 3 more wins? Could they have 4 more wins if Goldschmidt and Arenado were at a much higher level of play? Yeah, absolutely. And then they would be right where you're talking about within a couple games of the Brewers and at the top of the wild card standings.
Well, and the thing that I would point out, and you and I have talked about this endlessly, Matt. This team plays nothing but one-run games.
Yeah.
Well, those guys make a difference in those one-run games if both of them, that's two guys, if both of them, again, I'm not blaming them, by the way. They're trying. They're working hard. They're not lazy. They're not giving up. They're not cashing in. It's not their fault that they're struggling, but they are struggling. And they haven't found solutions to those struggles, which is the reason why. Because I think if you designed all of this and said, if you said in spring training, Alec Burleson is going to have the numbers that he's had, and Mason Winn is going to be one of the best rookies in Major League Baseball, playing strong defense and batting leadoff for you and all that. If you had said those things, and that Sonny Gray would be what he's been, and that Kyle Gibson would be what he's been, and that the bullpen might be the single biggest turnaround from last year to this year. Last year, the bullpen was terrible. This year, it's been outstanding. If you had said all of those things in spring training, you would have been like, they're going to be in first place, because you would have assumed that you'd get more from your two stars.
100%. And your point about the close games, not only would they win more close games, some of those close games that they win wouldn't be close games.
Right.
And then maybe
so you wouldn't have to use
Ryan
the bullpen
Helsley
in those
and
games.
Andrew Kittredge aren't being used, and that pays dividends the next day. So that's one of the beautiful things about baseball, how everything is connected, one player to the next, one day to the next, one inning to the next. And when you start doing the thing where you look at how you push down one domino and how that's going to impact other things, it impacts a lot.
Oh. So let me ask this. Obviously, it's game to game and series to series. We've all played fantasy, football or baseball, and that's why we love it, because you get to manage, and I'm a genius because I traded for this guy, or I put him in when no one else did. How has Mozeliak and Marmol done from a fantasy standpoint? How have they managed what they have to work with so far?
I think the fact that I like the resource allocation this year. They have, with playing so many close games, I think Oliver Marmol has done a good job of going on pushing chips in on the games that they have a chance to win, and trying not to hurt themselves for future days on games that they're not going to win. And that's why so many of their losses this year have been somewhat one-sided. When you're playing as many one-run games as they have played this year, that makes the job of managing the team from one day to the next that much more challenging.
And no manager is perfect, so that wouldn't be my argument, but I think Ollie overall has done a pretty good job. I have questions about roster construction. I mentioned those yesterday. I think they stick with things that aren't working for too long, and that's not just Ollie. I mean, that's a whole management team. That's Mo, that's Gersh, that's Ollie, that's ownership. I wish – so Matt and I – Matt, we talk all the time. Like, when you have a day when you need a starter – call up a starter. Don't go bullpen day and burn all of them out because you're playing a million close games. You're going to need those guys in the coming days based on how you're.
You're not a fan of how they use AAA.
I get why, because they don't have people down there they look at and say, yep, that guy's going to give us a quality outing. But by calling up a Graceffo or Klopfenstein or McGreevy, who looked great in his major league debut, you're not putting all those innings on guys you will need in other games. Which is to the point that Matt was making a second ago when we talk about if instead of a one-run win, it's a four-run win, well, then you don't have to use Ryan Helsley that day, and you don't have to use Jojo Romero that day. And that allows you to spread those resources out better. So that, and then just the complete lack of impact from the bench for 4 months. You have guys on the bench that can't help you very much as far as what you need in a given moment, right? Like, at times, those guys are what you needed.
Yeah, it's great when Carpenter comes off the bench and hits a home run. Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And look, in April and May, I think there was a need for Brandon Crawford and for Matt Carpenter to be there as insurance policies, as veteran influence guys. And then as you get later, you say, what are our needs? Well, we need right-handed presence more than we need a left-handed backup first base DH. And those would be my main criticism, would be I think there are small areas where other teams that don't run big payrolls make up in the margins on those type of things. They play platoons more. If they see a guy, we have a guy that, man, he's just not a full-time player. He's not hitting lefties. So we're only going to play him against righties, and we're going to get someone else in here to take those at-bats against lefties.
And that was part of going and getting Tommy Pham. In addition to trying to have some success against left-handers, which they needed, it was also an opportunity for them to get a little thump on their bench, which they just have not had at all this year.
Yeah, and now he's because of circumstance, you know, Siani goes down.
Starter.
He's an everyday player now, so you still have the same bench issue.
Do you think we need a Tommy Pham kick in the butt, or do you think the guys are playing at absolute 100% hustle?
It's good to have that presence in the clubhouse, but I don't think it's like, oh, guys are lackadaisical and Tommy Pham's going to come in and whip these guys into shape. Now, can Pham's influence and his directness and bluntness and intensity impact the rest of the team? Yes, absolutely, and I think it is. But I think we're going down a wrong path or an incorrect path when we say, well, these guys needed somebody to come in and kick them in the backside.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way to – there's an interesting needle to thread here, because I don't think that the problem at major league level of sports is almost ever effort. It becomes that at times, but it's very rare. All of the players are trying hard. But you guys have been we have a show. Part of what makes the show is the energy in the room, and that each person brings something different to that thing.
Good analogy.
And I think that's what helps in clubhouses sometimes, is to have a different energy level.
You need Andrew to kick you in the butt.
Yeah, Andrew is a good ass kicker.
Thank you, Matt Pauling.
You bet.
253 DGS. So we have a new feature on the Odyssey app where you can leave us messages, and we plan to use them very liberally. Every day we're going to do a segment called Ask the DGS or something like that. And you can just ask us anything you want. You can make it serious. You can make it goofy. You can leave messages that would be appropriate for a promo, like, hey, love the show, blah, 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 blah. You can leave mean stuff. If it's funny enough, we'll use it. If it's mean, we'll just delete it. Like, if it's just mean, you know, for the sake of being mean. And we have the priest and the rabbi coming up today at 4 p.m. Perfect time to say, hey, ask the rabbi this, ask Monsignor that. It can be about religion. It can be about current events. It can be about Judaism or Catholicism, whatever it happens to be. And one more time, Rach, describe how people do it.
Just open up the Odyssey app, go to KMOX, and right next to that orange Listen Live button, there is a microphone button. Just tap that, record your message, and hit send, and it'll get to us immediately.
And you can record it, and if you're not happy with it, you can re-record it.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And it only goes up to 60 seconds, so keep it short, folks.
Yeah. What's wrong with people from L.A., Andrew?
Man, they're always moving. They're always wanting to do stuff.
Man,
my brother came into town.
Sound like Biden. Let me tell you, Jack, not a joke.
Listen here, Jack. I don't like
they're
running around that
moving.
Much. I gotta have some time to rest, right? I'm out of shape. I can't be running all over the place. And I don't think it's a just my brother thing, because he came in over the weekend and it was just nonstop movement. And it has to be nonstop movement with him. And I don't think it's just him. I think it's an LA people thing in general, where like he's asking all these questions about like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do when I get into town? I don't know. We're gonna sit around, watch TV or something. I don't know. That's what I do normally. And he
go to Casey's. Who knows?
Yeah, he has to plan
Get
out.
Crazy.
He has to plan out every little thing, and then even in the moment, he's like, he gets real like fidgety, right? Like if we're just sitting there, he's like, well, I feel like we should probably go by 10. Why on earth do we have to leave by 10 a.m.? There's nothing going on. There's no time limit. There's no restrictions. No nothing. Like we just need.
Now
to
was
leave
he
by 10.
Like this before L.A.?
We didn't get along all that well before he went to L.A., so I didn't, like, talk to him all that much. And then, like, before that, you know, he's 4.5 years older than me, so he's lived out of the house since I was, like, 14.
Yeah.
Because he lived in Chicago, he went to school there, and then he moved straight out to L.A. So I don't remember all that much about him. I mean, I definitely remember being annoyed by him, but that's because we were...
Good segment.
Well, we were annoyed by each other, you know.
I hate my brother, Doc.
No, I love my brother. You better watch your step.